What's up, everyone, and welcome to Metalcore Nerds, the podcast that combines heavy music and pop culture. I am your host, Sean Mott, and today is a special, special bonus episode with the hype for No Way Home ramping up to its peak. It's coming in just a few days now. So I brought a few special Spidey friends with me in anticipation for some hopeful Spidey friends we'll see on the big screen from generations past. To rank all of the Spider-Man movies, I have returning Matt from Geek Hops News. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. I always love being here. This is a star-studded all-star. Like, this is the three different Spider-Men right here. I just hope I'm as beautiful as Andrew Garfield.
He is a pretty man. And then for the first time ever, making his Metalcore Nerds debut, Lance from Comic Book Keepers. It's a pleasure to have you, man. What's up?
I am so excited to be here. I freaking love Spider-Man. As soon as we brought up the idea of ranking all these, I was like, I need to start my rewatch immediately.
Yes, I had a blast of you messaging me which one you were watching next. I watched the Garfield ones like a month ago, and I just watched the Tom Holland ones this week. And I've watched the Raimi ones kind of a lot in the past couple of years. I did a whole podcast breaking down the whole trilogy. It's like 3 hours fucking long. It's very long. So yeah. if you want to hear me talk about the Raimi trilogy for a long time, and I'm going to preface this because I think this is going to get heated in some spots. It's probably very possible. The Spider-Man ranking can be a very difficult conversation with some people, but I love all of these movies to an extent. I'm just going to say that in the beginning.
Same.
I very much, so these movies each, they mean something to a different point in my life, each one.
Yes.
100%. Yep. I feel like with each of these movies, because we did see them at different times in our life, and so we kind of connect them with other events in our life, and sure. with Andrew Garfield's films, I had probably watched them the least, and so this rewatch was really good to kind of bring all those memories back and be like, oh my gosh, this is actually really good, and like kind Same. Of breaking down everything. And so I have a new perspective on almost all of these films just with the recent rewatch that I did. So super excited to talk about it.
Yeah. I have the same kind of thing. It's funny how the internet kind of shapes people's perspectives on certain things, especially I would say in the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies that aren't really true if you actually watch the movie and don't listen to what everyone says on the internet about it. But we'll get there. obviously, Spider-Man No Homes, a few days away. I know we're all excited. Everyone's fucking excited for this movie. This movie is going to be absolutely insane. All of our expectations are probably through the roof. But I think everyone in this group is tempered to a certain extent. We're here to give us the movie we want. But leading up to this movie, it's been insane with all the leaks. And
I've learned my lesson with Mephisto.
I mean, that was our fault. All right. Fault. We have no one to blame but us. They didn't.
We're doing it again, though. You know, everybody's getting their hopes and like, this is going to happen now. This is going to happen. And it's like, guys, just I'm enjoying the ride this time around. I'm just, yeah, just whatever we get, for what I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, even the score leaked, like that's insane. And that can't be. You can't fake a score from, if someone faked that, like, good for fucking them, because that's crazy shit to do. You know, like, hey, I just created 25 tracks and released them. That would be pretty insane. I wouldn't put it past
anybody these days.
That's true.
That person's getting hired for the next film if they did that.
Straight up, they're like, yeah, you're fucking hired, bro.
You're coming with me.
I mean, this is what they did for the guy who did the Luke Skywalker deepfake for Mandalorian. He fucking works for Lucasfilm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, so I mean, maybe. I mean, if someone was talented enough to make a full score for a movie and pass it off as a leak, then he should get hired 1,000%.
Oh, yep. Without a doubt.
All right, let's kick this off. Least favorite Spider-Man movie. I think you guys might be surprised by my least favorite, but Lance, you go first. What's your least favorite Spider-Man? Number eight.
My number eight is Spider-Man 3, but it is in that spot for a different reason than it was originally. I despised this movie the first time I saw it because Venom is one of my favorite characters, period. And Topher Grace, Eric Foreman, is no Eddie Brock. And it hurt
me physically
to see him on screen acting nothing like Eddie Brock at all. There is no semblance of that character in his performance. And it hurt me. But rewatching it, there are so many, there's so much potential in that movie. It is unbelievable. Like the relationship dichotomy between Peter and Harry and the resolution that occurs is is so good. It like had so much potential to be amazing. Like all the threads that they threw in this movie, if it had been done well, would have been probably near the top of this list. And
yeah,
so
it probably has the most like emotional weight of the whole Raimi trilogy, like with the Harry stuff and then with the Sandman stuff. Like even in that podcast I referenced earlier, we talk about how there's a beautiful movie under all of the shit they fucking throw on top of it.
So much. When he makes the sandcastle for his daughter.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh my gosh, that scene is so heartbreaking.
And his transformation scene still looks incredible. And it was like 20 years ago. That's like, crazy. You know, like that's nuts that it holds up with like VFX now. You look at that and you're like, man, if you said this movie came out now, I would not blink an eye at it, which is insane to say.
I thought they did a really good job with the black suit for Spider-Man. Like that was great.
Looked really good.
That was beautiful too. But what they did with Tobey Maguire, like I don't know what that whole like
emo.
We're dancing at a piano bar. We're bullying children on the street. Basically, it's like that's
we're not abusing
Spider-Man.
MJ.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is gonna be my first of saying that Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker in Spider-Man is a giant piece of fucking shit.
Yeah,
he is the worst really is. Human.
Yep.
Well, MJ is also a terrible human being in these two, but someone was like, "How is he a terrible person?" I was like, "Well, he physically assaults MJ in the third one. He gets MJ to leave someone in every movie." I was like, "He lets people die, like which Spider-Man would never do in a million years." No. And I thought about this when I was having a conversation about this in the Facebook group the other day, is that besides the first one, really, he's not the one who saves the day in two or three. It's like Doc Ock saves the day in two, and then Harry really saves the day in three.
Yeah.
He's not even the hero in these movies, you know what I mean? Which is crazy to think about.
The scene where Harry comes in and you just like it gets quiet and then the pumpkin bomb comes in and lands on Sandman's face.
Oh, beautiful.
And then it goes so off sick. And you see, oh, it could have been and so good.
I thought they did a decent job with Harry's version of the Goblin too. Like it looked pretty decent.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that James Franco was a little too whiny overall for me and whatnot. Yeah. But there was a lot to like and
Raimi has a lot of whiny characters.
Well, to be fair, he didn't even want to put Venom in this movie.
Yeah. No, it was Sony. Oh, no. That was studio.
It was all Sony, which sucks. Yeah. And the Venom design, obviously he's like way too small when he's on Topher, but the design looks fucking dope. Like if it was like a big ass Venom like he's supposed to be, it would have been really sick. But I always loved the design and even like the goopiness in the beginning when you see it, you're like, man, they at least nailed it with that. Yeah. You know,
they 100% brought in like the Raimi horror element that he throws into his other movies. There's a lot of like body horror in the Raimi trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
And he has like close up zooms and like we're gonna get into the other films, but there's so much that was like good in this film that it just turned into such a disappointment because of what could have been.
Yeah. Agreed. Mash, is this the same? Is this you have the same?
Yeah, memory? this is the same. This is my least favorite. And it's not to say that it's not terrible. Like there are far worse movies out there.
Yes.
But I agree. When you're looking at it as every Spider-Man, I have that same mug by the way. We've gotten, it's just like, what is going on here? Like this is the furthest from a Peter Parker that we have ever gotten in any iteration of Spider-Man. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what all has happened, but this is not Peter Parker at all.
Definitely not at all. He is so awful. He's such an awful human.
Have you guys seen the TikTok that's Bully Maguire? There's like a TikTok dedicated to putting him into just different movies.
It's so, have you seen the Hot Ones one?
Yeah.
Oh my God. No.
Look it up.
Someone did a, oh yeah, they sent it. Someone sent it in the Goonplatoon chat. That was the Dragon Ball Z one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That one was unbelievable. I was like, this is amazing.
Like, it's pure comedy. I love it so much.
Yeah. And there's another thing I need to say about the Raimi trilogy, too. And again, I have a lot of love. Like, I grew up on, I loved the Spider-Man anime cartoon. So, me to see in live action when I was a kid, it was a massive, massive deal. Yeah. But the acting between probably the main three, like Kirsten Dunst, Tobey Maguire, and James Franco, pretty fucking bad.
There was like no chemistry at all.
It's so awkward, and it's not really their fault. I do think I do have like a hatred for Tobey Maguire's acting a lot of the time, and I'm just gonna say that up front. But Kirsten Dunst has had really good performances, and James Franco's been good in some movies. I mean, I know he's like canceled now and everything.
Yeah, he's kind of a crappy human being. But
Kind of a piece of shit in real life, but which sucks. But he's definitely had better performances than the Spider-Man movies. And they do shell him in Spider-Man 3, which sucks that they kind of are like, nah.
Because they set you up at the end of 2. It's like, that's when he finds out that Peter is Spider-Man. And you're man, we're going to have it come to an end in 3, which you do. But he's not really like, they just kind of sideline that whole storyline almost for a while
for the Venom thing, pretty much. Yeah. For the most part, it's mostly like, Lance, I have to echo your sentiment of he is not Eddie Brock at all. And I know we both have feelings on the Tom Hardy Venom movies, but he is a very good Eddie Brock to me. Those movies, not that great, but the shining light of those movies to me is him as Eddie Brock in Venom. Like that's what gets me excited for him. Me seeing him in the future is that, okay, at least they got that right. I guess they can't put him in a good movie, but I mean, at least he feels like Venom, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock. Yes. 100%.
Oh yeah. I don't like those movies, but I like him as Eddie Brock in Venom. I think that's about the only thing that they've done well with those movies.
Could not agree more.
Yeah, I just turned my brain off and I'm just like, I just want to see action. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I had fun with the first one because, you know, it's like fucking weird and everything like that. But
we'll cover the Venom movies later, where there's the trilogy.
Once they figure out their trilogy, we'll get to those.
Maybe. That's an
episode on its own.
Yeah, with everything that Feige and Amy Pascal have kind of been teasing in the junket for No Way Home, I'm really just hoping that everything in Sony becomes the MCU and Feige has his hand in it. That's my big hope. Even fucking Jared Leto.
I was about to say, you even have your other new guys.
Yeah, when you showed that scene, he like introduced that scene in that panel where like the villains panel, and we saw the Spider-Verse trailer and stuff like that. He even said, he's like, the multiverse is open and things are about to get more sinister. And I'm like, okay, say you're going to be in the Sinister Six without saying you're in the Sinister Six. I mean, you pretty much did, but
yeah.
So my least favorite is actually different. And I'm going to reveal that my next one is Spider-Man 3, number 7. So it's a pretty close race, but my least favorite after a rewatch. And again, there's a lot of good in this movie. It's just, it has the same problem as Spider-Man 3, but you guys can probably guess it's Amazing Spider-Man 2 is at the bottom for me. And I know we were talking about this a little bit the other day. Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man is awesome.
Yes.
Him as Peter Parker, sometimes. I will say in this movie, the best of this movie are stuff with him and Gwen. And that stuff is really good. The emotional beats with that really hit. It's just the movie. And even the stuff with him and Harry in the beginning, Dane DeHaan is incredible. They kind of ruin his whole arc. Like, I feel like it's just
looks whatever horrible. They did with the way he was looking. Ugh.
Oh, awful, awful. But I did love the relationship they had in the movie. You could kind of tell that like, oh, they were best friends, but they've been removed from each other for a number of years. You like felt that bond. And that was the Peter Parker stuff that I really to grasp with. And I think both Andrew Garfield movies suffer this very heavily, is that the tone is so
it's not all the way there cohesively. It's like times it's like awkward and campy, and then other times it's really dramatic, and it's not even like they flow through it nice. It's like it almost feels like Andy Garfield at points is acting in two different movies. And mm-hmm. and that's a bummer to me because he is such an amazing actor. Obviously, dude's Oscar nominated, and he's probably gonna get nominated for another Oscar for Tick, Tick, Boom this year, like, or next year, I guess.
Oh, did he have a movie coming out? I'm sorry, I thought he was doing press for Spider-Man No Way Home.
He is. Just kidding, he's not. Poor fucking guy. Poor guy. Obviously, he's an amazing actor, and obviously Emma Stone's an amazing actress. It's just, and it's not their fault. It has to have been, like, the screenwriter or the direction. It's just, like, it felt like they were in two different movies in both movies. And this movie suffers the same thing as Spider-Man 3. There's just way too much fucking shit going on with him dealing with Gwen's father dying and him battling with, like, should I be with her? Should I not be with her? And everything like that. But Gwen's death at the end, obviously I knew it happened. Of course, mm-hmm. we knew it happened. Yeah. This time, but I still gasped when you hear that, the thud. Like, I was like,
it's brutal.
It's awful. It is so brutal.
I think that is probably like the saddest, most emotional scene that I have personally gotten out of all of the Spider-Man film, just about. For me,
it is a really, it is a really, really good one. I have one that tops it, and you're probably gonna be very mad about it, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it later. But yeah, I could agree with that. Like, they definitely, like we said with Spider-Man 3, the biggest emotional thing was kind of the Harry stuff and the Sandman stuff, and the whole trilogy, which is regarded one of the worst Spider-Man movies ever. And like I said, it's my number 7, and these kind of flip-flop. I just feel like this one, I think I put it at 8 because it had so much wasted potential on the floor. Like both of these movies, but I have a lot of new love for Amazing Spider-Man after rewatching it, mostly because of the Spider-Man moments. It's just, mm-hmm. he nailed that shit. The Peter Parker stuff, especially in 1, is very like, you're kind of a dick, dude. Like, what do you, why? Like, you kind of feel bad for Flash, and you're like, why do I feel bad for Flash? This is weird. Like, why? Why do I feel this?
They made Flash a little too, I don't even know how to say it. Like, he was just like really messed up towards women and was like really aggressive towards everyone. I was like, Flash is going to become a hero. You're going a little too hard on how messed up he is right now. Because when they do the switch, like after his uncle dies, and well, this isn't the first, like after his uncle dies and he's like, Flash goes to him and he's like, hey, I understand what's going on. Like the switch he does is like, oh, this is the Flash I wanted to see, not this whatever misogynistic monster.
Flash is out here beating women, and then he's going to go to beating bad guys.
And I was like, save that for Peter Parker in Spider-Man 3. Let's keep this Flash a little bit nicer. But I'll save time and say my number 7 is Amazing Spider-Man 2. So we're right there next to each other.
Okay, yeah. So we're pretty close to the same.
Yeah. Like the Spider-Man stuff in these films is perfection. It looks so good. The way they show him like swinging on the webs, it looks phenomenal. His suit's a little too shiny for my liking.
It is very shiny.
It's so shiny. Like when he's moving, it looks cool. When he's standing still, it's just like, I can't see you because you're too bright.
That's part of it. Like he's getting the bad guys away. They're blinded because.
Yeah. I was looking at like the pictures to make the graphics for this. And when mm-hmm. I was looking at like the Andrew ones, I was like, why is he so metallic?
But same thing you said before, like the Gwen Stacy death is phenomenal. Emma Stone crushes it as Gwen Stacy. Like 1,000%. Unbelievable how good, and their chemistry is fantastic because they were dating in real life.
That's right.
They've all of the Spider-Man and the main love interest have all dated in real life, which is pretty wild. Toby and Kirsten Dunst and Tom Holland and Zendaya are dating now.
No wonder Toby was such an asshole. He had to put up with Kirsten Dunst on and off set.
Oh my god, dude. That's rough. That's real rough.
in all seriousness, if there's one character that we can get back from that Amazing Spider-Man series, I would love it for Gwen Stacy. Obviously, she's dead, but the multiverse exists for a reason. So if we can get her back in some capacity.
She was Spider-Gwen?
If she could be Spider-Gwen, I would 100% be down for that.
I would so be on board. 100% like, with that.
Imagine if they hid from us that Spider-Gwen is in this movie. I mean, I think it'd be kind of too much, maybe. But if Spider-Gwen was in this movie and Andrew Garfield sees her, like, that would be
fucked. Oh, my God. That would be, right away, like, right there. Best movie ever.
And Miles is going to be like, Andrew, you can please leave. Like, do not get in the way of me and Spider-Man.
My girl, yo.
Who are you again? Because this.
Go skateboard. Just please leave.
Go skateboard. Amazing.
Go skateboard. All right. Well, let's get to number six. So
this is when it starts getting a little harder.
Yeah. It starts getting a little harder. So Mash, what do you have for number six?
Oh man. You guys aren't gonna like me for this one.
Oh, dude, if it is what I think it is, I'm gonna be so fucking mad.
No, it's the Amazing Spider-Man 1. Actually, I put it the Amazing Spider-Man Whew. 1 right here. It was very close to another one. I had to debate a little bit.
I put Amazing Spider-Man really high. Not really high, but pretty high.
I was really struggling. So I had almost put Far From Home in this spot. And I'll be honest with you, Far From Home is number 5. I'll just tell you straight off the bat, Far From Home is the next one. And it's almost a tie for me, but I thought what they did really well was obviously the Spider-Man. I loved that, you know, he was very confident to almost cocky there. Like when he first gets in the suit straight from the get-go, what I didn't like was they tried to do too much of that mystery aspect with like what happened with his parents. I didn't really enjoy the whole, like at the end, it's, oh, I made a promise to your dad, but promises are meant to be broken. Like I didn't really care for that part. Like, This Peter Parker is not somebody who's going to be getting bullied at school. Like I didn't buy into that. And he wasn't a bad Peter Parker, but it wasn't Peter Parker to me. So there was a lot I liked. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of generic, like Lizard, you know, Dr. Connors was kind of too generic for me. And yeah, so it's number 6 for me.
And the basketball scene, like,
oh God, I had forgotten about that scene. Wildest
dream. Not question that a dude jumped from the 3-point line and dunked and broke the backboard of a basketball. Like,
hey, why is he not in the NBA?
Yeah, like, yo, you can fucking try out for the basketball team, bro.
his hip was above the rim.
Yeah, cell phones were a thing at this point in 2012. Like, we were putting stuff on the internet. Like, Facebook was a thing. This would have gone viral on Facebook. Okay, like, let's just be honest.
Easily, I was like, people didn't question that. Like, really. It's a little bit much for me.
I also didn't like what Sony did with these movies in that they didn't cast a J. Jonah Jameson because they couldn't find somebody that was as good as J.K. Simmons. And I was like, why didn't you just cast J.K. Simmons? Yeah. Like, clearly that doesn't
matter.
Maybe
he didn't want to do back. It.
Maybe I mean, clearly he probably did. I don't know. I don't think they ever asked him because,
I mean,
Sony, they were just like, we couldn't find anybody that was as good. And I'm like, the man is right in front of you. Like, just wave your hand, do some magic. Like, hello, the perfect here. Man is right here. It's literally me in the picture.
Fair. So my number 6, my Amazing Spider-Man was number five, actually. But my number 6 is Spider-Man 1.
Ooh.
Spider-Man 1. So upon rewatching this one didn't hold up as much as Spider-Man 2 for me. It's a good movie. I mean, I like Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Obviously, I'm a bit of a scientist myself. Is one of the greatest gifts and uses of all time, especially lately. People, you know, like I'm a bit of a podcaster myself and shit like that. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I just think the thing that for me is when I was rewatching it, felt like a movie from the 2000s, and that's kind of brought it down a little bit. Because even like the end fight scene with Green Goblin, you can tell that, which makes sense. It's from its time. You know, you can see the thing like, oh, that was obviously a prop set up to fall. And you know, like in today's day and age, it doesn't matter to me. And, you know, sometimes you got to kind of like forget about that stuff. But I just went and saw The Matrix, and some of the CGI is a little lackluster. But for 1999, when most of the VFX are like, wow, this looks pretty good, that's fucking nuts. And for this stuff, you can't. For 2 and 3, I can say yes. Like, that shit looks, I mean, they got more money. The first one, a ton of money. You know, the second one, I mean, they all, I think the third one made the most of all of them,
which is insane.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I think that was like the highest grossing Spider-Man movie until Far From Home, maybe, or maybe Homecoming. I don't remember. It was one of the two. It was until MCU one took it down. But yeah, it was just some of that stuff where it kind of just didn't hold up. And I'm not in the camp of hating Green Goblin's design, even though it does look like a Power Ranger now that more people say it. I don't mind it like everyone else is like, it fucking sucks. I don't mind it myself personally.
I don't mind it personally.
Neither do I.
I just feel a lot of people shit on it. I don't really know why. Whatever, you know.
I like it.
But and I even like how over the top he is. It's great. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Willem Dafoe is amazing. Willem Dafoe goes so hard. He fully commits to this role. He
understands the assignment. He does. Without a doubt.
And I was there for it. But I will also say my number six is also the first Spider-Man film.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's one thing I want to add. And even Willem Dafoe kind of brought this up in the villains panel. His motivation for being a villain is gone in like the third act. He like takes down Oscorp like he wants to. And then he's just like a villain to be a villain.
He's just being a dick at this point.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm bad. Ha-ha. You know what I mean? Which is, as much as I know Mash will say this. It feels good to be bad. As much as I know Mash will say this about the Holland movies, of how it's kind of all Tony Stark's fault that has a villain. But I mean, it's kind of Tony Stark's fault anything in the MCU happened at this point. Kind of. You know, it's kind of all his fault, or the Avengers' fault, or something. Homecoming is kind of partially the Avengers' fault in a way. You know, it's, you know, takes from the Battle of New York and everything like that. But at least they have a reason to be a villain. You know what I mean? It's not where he's just like, I'm taking down Oscorp. He took down Oscorp, and he's like, I'm just gonna kill Spider-Man for the fun of it. You know, like.
Challenge, all right? It's like roid rage. He had like roid rage at this point. He was injected with this stuff, so he needs to just target that anger somewhere.
Just death of a well, I guess he's not a child anymore.
No, Tobey Maguire is 49 years like old in these movies.
Every like teenager, quote teenager, is at least 35 in these films. It's
like
ridiculous.
It's like the OC. I love the OC.
They're
like, they're in high school, and I'm like, yo, you guys are 30 years old.
This man's like, got gray hair.
And then we have Joe Manganiello as Flash Thompson.
Oh, that's
in this film,
right.
Which I am desperate for them. Multiverse is open. Bring him back as Agent Venom. Yes, please.
Dude.
Thank you very much.
Just put
now
him
you
in
said
anything.
I want it so like, bad.
I'm still mad that we aren't having him as Deathstroke right now, but that's a whole other conversation.
It's ridiculous.
That movie we didn't get. Fuck you, Warner Brothers. Fuck you.
It hurts to be alive.
Lance, you got more to say on Spider-Man 1 before you reveal your five?
Yeah. So I love this film. Like this list, it's hard to do. Aside from like the bottom two, the rest are just like right there. I love the first Raimi suit. It is phenomenal. We have like the Aunt May actress is unbelievable
in this
movie. She's so good. Like there's so much to love. We got Bonesaw. There's like iconic moments left and right.
Bonesaw's got you for 3 minutes.
Bonesaw is ready.
Tobey Maguire also says another addition to him being a piece of shit. He's like, who made that outfit? Your boyfriend? Obviously,
things that didn't age well.
Yeah, you're like, yikes! Can't say that. Yikes!
But yeah, oh, and then we also get Bruce Campbell and Lucy Lawless in this film.
Oh yeah, yes.
So, Bruce Campbell's cameos in the Raimi trilogy are top fucking notch. Every time I saw him, I was like,
No Way Home. I'm gonna be so sad. He better be in like No Way Home or not No Way Home.
He'll be in Multiverse.
That's what I'm saying. Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
If he's not in there, I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked if he's not.
I definitely think he's going to be in that one.
He's got to be.
Yeah. So that's my six. So my five is Far From Home.
Damn. I'm on an island over here.
Yeah. I'm so done with everything being Iron Man's fault. And literally every single one of Peter Parker's villains in the MCU is because of Tony. I'm really bored with it at this point. But I love the look of Mysterio. Jake Gyllenhaal does a great job as Mysterio. There's a lot of fun in the film, but I'm just so done with everything just being Iron Man's fault. And give me like like I just want Peter
give me
to
an amen
life. Like, have him be his own hero. Just already, come on. Like, he needs to be his own hero. And
my argument towards his own hero with, I get, you know, everything was caused by, but I think a lot of people forget about these, especially these MCU Spider-Man movies. Everyone, oh, he relied on Tony Stark in the first one. It's like, no, he went to, like, Tony went to him. He was like, yep, you're fucking up. You're too young for this. And then he ends up proving himself at the end. And that's why he offers for him to be an Avenger. And then he turns it down because he's like, hey, I can do this shit myself. I can handle it. And then in Far From Home, he's brought in by Nick Fury to be in this like SHIELD or whatever mission it is. It
wasn't even Nick Fury.
With Mysterio. It wasn't Nick Fury. Yes, it was Talos.
No,
Talos
but
forming as Nick Fury. But he didn't, like, he wasn't being like, Mysterio, be my mentor. It just happened to happen like that. And of course, Tony just died. Of course, Jake Gyllenhaal kind of looks like Tony Stark. Even when he put on the glasses, you're like, man, he looks a lot like Robert Downey Jr. right now. And they did it on purpose to say, I'm this teenage kid, because of course you're going to be able to manipulate an emotional teenage kid who doesn't even want to do superhero shit right now. He's like, I just want to go on vacation and be a fucking kid. Which, after, you know, dying and fighting aliens on, you know, and Thanos on a different world in space, I would probably want to take a summer off too.
But counterpoint though is he still ends up relying on like Stark tech and all that stuff and need, you know, Tony and everything like that to get through. Like, I think what they should have done is have, you know, at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming, he learns to become his own hero. Build off of that, because on the plane, he reverts right back to Stark tech, needing Tony Stark. What would Tony do? Tony. It's like, no, let him figure it out for himself. He just gets his ass beat, dropped in one of the best scenes that I think a Spider-Man movie has given us is that Mysterio sequence where like everything's like, that was beautiful. Beautiful. Wild. Absolutely wild great. Shit. And this movie does have a lot of decent stuff. Like, I love Mysterio. I love that whole, but oh, Tony wronged me. I also am done. Kind of like, let Spider-Man have his own. Like, that's what makes him so great, is he's this kid, but he handles himself and he just ends up relying right back on Stark Tech. And yeah, he kind of figures out, you know, how to beat the drones and stuff. And I thought what they did there was great, like exposing who he is. But like, just give me that Peter Parker who has shown me that he is this hero now after everything he's gone through to this point, because he's gone through Infinity War, Endgame, Homecoming. Like, let him show that. And then I you know, in this third movie, he's going to get more help, and I'm all fully on board with more help. But like, what I hope they do if they continue another trilogy with Tom Holland is keep him more to his own separate, like, let him do his own thing, figure it out for himself, and then bring him in the Avengers when they need him. Yeah. Don't rely on the Avengers. Don't rely on Tony Tech.
And the only thing is, like, he relies on Stark Tech, but the whole point of him getting a Stark suit in Homecoming makes so much sense to me, because one of the big things in the Tobey and Andrew movies, how the fuck would they be able to build a suit like that? They're poor ass kids who live in New York City. How in the hell could they just, oh, I'm a seamstress now, I can build perfect superhero suits? Like, it makes no sense at all.
But
that's what he kind of does in the comics, though.
But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, and I liked how instead of Tony making the suit, he used it. Like, maybe, yeah, it's Stark Tech, it's, you know, his shit, but like, he made it himself. And that plane scene, I watched this movie yesterday. That plane scene fucking ruins me still. I stop Endgame at like the battle, because I'm like, I don't want to cry right now. All right. I know I'm going to cry. I don't want to cry. And then I watch that scene, and that scene wrecks me every fucking time. Because even then, he's like, I'm not, because everyone's like, oh, he's the next Iron Man. It's like, in the movie, he goes, I'm not the next Iron Man. And Happy agrees with me. He's like, yeah, you're not going to be the next Iron Man. You know why? Tony was a fucking mess. He second guessed everything. Guess what was the one thing he didn't second guess? Picking you. You know, and like, that's so fucking beautiful. Like, that's such an amazing emotional.
Oh, I'm not doubting that at all. Not doubting that whatsoever. I'm with Lance on this, though.
That's fair. I'm on an island, guys.
The scene where where Happy lands the plane and Peter's so scared because he doesn't know if it's actually Happy or not. Oh
my God, dude. Say something, like, say something like you would know.
Yeah. Like, there's so many good things. Like
there is.
Oh, there. I love, like, I'm not saying I hate this film whatsoever.
No, there's I know.
There's just other things that like stand above, but fair. Just along the lines of these other heroes, like building their own suits. Can you guys not make web shooters out of fossil watches?
Look, I barely got through high school, so I joined the military for a reason.
I couldn't figure out my headphones when we logged into this. Like, you think I can build web shooters out of a fucking watch, man? Come on.
Come on, man.
But yeah, great film.
It is good. No, it is a very solid film. I just prefer it less.
I don't know. I feel like everyone kind of shits on it.
Yeah.
But you said it was overrated yesterday. I think it's underrated, but that's just me.
The Mysterio sequence stands as one of the greatest sequences in any Spider-Man film, I will say.
Easily. It is like, so sick. Like, it is so insane.
The way they did that was so good. Zombie Iron Man. Oh, my God. Yes.
The levels. It was just level. Like, what's real? What's not? It is a stunning scene to witness in film. And it was one of the most comic book scenes feel like we've seen on screen. And it was done to perfection.
Yeah, I do like how they ended up using the drones to do the Mysterio stuff, because it made his character, because I mean, I know it's like Stark tech and it's kind of his tech that Stark stole, I guess, more so.
Yeah.
But then he ends up acquiring more Stark tech to make his illusions bigger. But that's such a cool way to frame it, because, you know, the MCU kind of tries to make things quote unquote realistic or more grounded in reality per se. They kind of try to explain stuff. Like, even in the beginning, they explained magic as like science we didn't understand. Now they're getting definitely farther away from that, which is cool. But everything, you know, even time travel, they like brought in quantum physicists to like kind of make it so it was like quote unquote realistic and stuff like that. But instead of, you know, I feel like if they would have made it like the comic, I think they made Mysterio a little more interesting than in the comics, at least in my opinion.
Well,
he's not dead. There's no way he's fucking dead.
No,
I don't think he's dead either. I think he's going to be in a Sinister Six in some way. Yes. I think he's going to get folded in. Yeah, I don't think he's dead at all.
Yeah, which I can't wait. Jake Gyllenhaal we were talking about this in the Goobletoon group the other day or yesterday about how we're like, oh, we knew he was going to be a bad guy. It's just when I was watching the movie and not even thinking about it, I was like, because they wait till like halfway through the movie to turn him. And I was like, man, is he going to be a good guy? And then as soon as you're like you're like, no, he'll end up being the bad guy. And then as soon as you're like, okay, is he the good guy? When they have that sit down, you know, and he's like, man, it's really nice to talk to someone. Because, I mean, Tom Holland, Peter Parker, doesn't really have anyone to talk to at this point. You know, like even bringing him in makes sense because there is no Avengers left really anymore. You know,
they kind of
really
do abandon around. Him. The Avengers kind of like, all right, see you, kid. After altering event, it's like,
you're cool, right? I mean, they kind of all deal with their own shit, you know, like, you know,
he's a kid. You would think at least Pepper would be hey, I know that I have a daughter that we're going through this, but like, are you okay too? Because Tony also thought of you like a son.
It's okay. Gwyneth Paltrow probably didn't even know Tom Holland.
She's busy making Spider-Man. Like vagina bath bombs or whatever it is she does over there.
Correct. Yes. It's so funny because like every time someone brings up a movie and they're like, oh, I was in that movie with someone. It's like, do you not remember anything? Like whatever.
It is very, very interesting. Like, oh yeah, I was with that person. You're like, you don't remember all these things you've done? Like, I know you do a lot of work, but like, you don't remember the people that you've worked with?
You can definitely tell which actors in these films are also fans of the material because they're super like Simu Liu is just like I'm Shang-Chi, like he's freaking out on SNL and like all this stuff. And then you have other characters who are like, I was in that film.
Bradley Cooper, who like has never spent 1 second on set as Rocket. He just goes into a studio, does voice, and he doesn't even do any promotional stuff. It's like,
He never
same with Vin Diesel, I guess, too.
Maybe I'm crazy, but if I'm in the MCU, I'm going to be like, I'm in the MCU. I don't care if it's my voice and you don't ever see me, but like,
I'm at every screening of every single movie.
Without a doubt.
I'm doing press for without movies I'm not even in.
Yeah, straight up. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you hear about that. I know I'm promoting my other movie, but did you hear about that Marvel movie that's happening? It's really cool. You should check it out.
Stupid. It is really bizarre. It is. You are right, though.
Yeah, same with Vin Diesel.
it's the same kind of thing. You know, he's just he just says, "I am Groot" in 20,000 different ways and collects his paycheck.
But he's,
says,
"See ya." But he actually, no, I will say the difference with Vin Diesel, though, is he actually took the time to learn how to say "I am Groot" in different languages. So that way it's his voice in all these country languages. So he took the time to do that. So he actually cares. But he's busy writing, you know, Fast and Furious 75. And so he doesn't have time for this. All right. He's out here trying to get The Rock back on board to finish his Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah. You after better calling do it. The Rock out.
And after they almost fought each other or whatever it is.
Yeah, just throw this out there. The Rock would destroy Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Without a doubt. Easily.
Yeah. Not even a question. No question in my mind at all. All right. Number four. This is where shit's getting real, I think. Mm-hmm. All right. My number four, Spider-Man 2.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man 2. Very good movie. Again, Toby's acting. Kind of still a piece of shit.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
But Alfred Molina's Doc Ock. Wow. Ooh. And I can't wait to see him on screen again doing this in a few days.
Hello, Peter.
Man, gosh, this dude Alfred is Molina's fucking so unbelievable.
So this movie gives us a really good fight sequence for Spider-Man too. Like the fight with him and Doc Ock on the clock tower and then to the train, like that is top so tier, sick. Especially for the era that this was made in. Like it holds up today.
Yeah. There's only a few times where the CGI was just like, like that's not great. Like when Doc grabs MJ from the diner, that like sequence of CGI isn't very good at all when they're going up the building. But like, during a lot of the other stuff looked great, and it was because a lot of it was there's a lot of practical going on too, because his tentacles were practical.
Yep.
Oh yeah,
puppets.
I do have two issues with this movie, so I'll tell you right now, this movie is my number three. But
okay,
two things. Number one, when they're in the diner or the cafe, right, that awful emotional scene, he doesn't know at this point that Peter is Spider-Man, and he smashes him against the wall, being like, "Go find Spider-Man." Bam. But wait, I broke your back. Like, yeah. And then number two is this might have given us one of the worst scenes I have ever witnessed. And it's that sequence of Mary Jane in her wedding dress running through the courtyard and leaving her own wedding. Like that is one of the worst scenes in any movie that I have watched.
Yeah.
It's bad. Again, MJ is also a piece of shit. terrible human being.
I love that.
So without a doubt,
in this film, Harry's like, "You go get me Spider-Man, and like, I'll get you all the whatever, the trinium or whatever it's called,
your precious trinium
that you need." Yes. And he's like, "But don't hurt Peter." The next scene, he throws a car at Peter through a restaurant, and he's like, "How did Doc Ock think that he was going to survive this?" He didn't know he was Spider-Man.
He throws a car and then he throws him through a wall.
He's like, "There's Peter, taxi, boom!" Just like
boom,
eats it into a building.
He's cool. Don't worry about it.
He's fine.
You never been hit by a car before,
right? Right. Don't hurt Peter or whatever it was.
And it wasn't like an escalation. It was just like he didn't go to Peter and was like, "Hey, you're gonna find me Spider-Man, or I'm gonna hurt you and your little girlfriend." It was like, "No, I'm gonna throw a car at you, then I'm gonna steal your girl, and then I'm gonna scale a building and threaten to murder." It's like we escalated way too fast in this situation.
It's fair. That's very fair. Then Mash, what's your number four? If Spider-Man 2 is your number three.
My number four is Spider-Man 1. It's only this for nostalgic reasons, I really think. So I was 12 years old. This came out in 2002. It was supposed to come out in 2001. Obviously, events made it to, you know, they had to change some things. So to me, this was like I had watched, you know, super comic book movies. But this was the one that I really first stood out and I remember vividly and was really excited for. And I thought I loved, you know, there's a lot of cool things like when Peter's up on his roof on Thanksgiving or on a ceiling and he drops the blood. Like that was a very suspenseful scene to me.
Yes.
I thought that there was a lot of like, "You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us." Like that was cool seeing Peter go
the
through
New York of it all.
New Yorkers who had his back. Like I thought that was great. Yeah, there's some things like the bone saw stuff. He kind of lets the robber go, of course, which is very not Peter Parker at all. And
no,
but I thought the sequence, like the emotional scenes with Aunt May, were great. And so to me, that would be my number four, just because there is a lot of great things in it. I do love Willem Dafoe, but yeah, there's obviously cracks in this movie. Come on. I mean,
yeah, I will say that early Peter Parker in the comics is a dick. He, in the first few issues of The Amazing Spider-Man, he is a horrible person. Like, he is not a good person. So I see why they throw this in these early first films. But like, he's not a good person. He's going on like late night TV shows as Spider-Man to like be making money. And it is,
well, he's broke.
Yeah, it is. But it's such a strange like sequence of events. He's really rude to other people because he thinks he's this massive genius. And so he talks down to people all the time. I was like, I know why you're bullied. It's because you're an a-hole. Like, like early Peter Parker is not someone to admire whatsoever. So I see the connection there, but you're right. Like, there's so much stuff that they keep going on. Like, Tobey Maguire's Peter is just a jerk the entire trilogy.
He's not. Nobody is good. Nobody is a decent human being in that trilogy. Aunt May is about the only decent person that comes out of these movies.
Yeah.
My wife is here. No,
I'm not. How's it going?
She's leaving. She's got to go sell t-shirts to anime t-shirts to a bunch of people now.
Perfect.
Yeah. You know,
it's a good way to spend the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with the Maguire of it all. And I do love the Raimi trilogy. Like I've said a few times now,
it holds a special place.
Can you just,
it does.
Yeah. Can you just not be a terrible person, please?
Yeah. I still remember like this movie is what like sparked a lot of my nerdiness within comic books.
Oh, same.
In general.
Very fair.
Yeah. I remember going to see this movie with my mom. I remember as soon as we got out of the film, I got to go to a toy store and pick out she's like, pick whatever Spider-Man toy you want. And I picked Green Goblin glider toy where you could like pull a trigger and it would spin sideways. And it could
shoot pumpkin bombs. This. Yeah.
And it was That's the coolest so freaking toy ever. And I was obsessed with it. Like, that Christmas was when I got my first comic book because my parents went to a local comic shop and they were just like, our kid like Spider-Man now, like, what should we get? And I just got like a stack of maybe like 10, 12 random Spider-Man books. And like, I, in that stack, like I had Spider-Man issue 6 from the Todd McFarlane run. And it has the Hobgoblin on the cover. Like, as soon as I see it, it's like pure nostalgia. And it throws me right back to was as what an 11, 12 year old kid just be starting my obsession with superheroes. So like it holds a very special place in my heart. And the fact that it's my number 6 on my list shows you like how much I just enjoy these films in general.
Yeah. Another thing about the Raimi trilogy, which is an interesting note. I'm sure you guys probably know this, but those are the first movies Kevin Feige was a producer on for Marvel.
Oh, that's right. I always forget that he was.
He's not listed in the first. He's not credited in the first one, but he was still a producer. He's credited in 2 and 3, but it started his career. He was even talking about that in the junket, is saying like, hey, like my career started with this. So to be able to include these characters in what I'm doing now, it makes this movie even more special. Hearing something like that, like it's like for us, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, our generational Spider-Man characters are all coming together in one movie. Like, holy shit, that's cool. But the dude who created this world that we all love, also, it's the same thing for him, which is crazy so to cool. think about. Lance, what's your number four then?
So my number four is the first Amazing Spider-Man. During my rewatch.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, during my rewatch, I freaking loved this film. There are weak points. The Dr. Connors motivations are not great when he's in his like mid transformation stuff. The acting is not fantastic, but like again, like I said in the second one, the web slinging. Exactly. The web slinging is done so well. Like his transformation, his Spider-Man, when he's making fun of the criminals and like catching them. And he's like, man. Oh no, my only weakness, so tiny knives. It's just like,
oh, that's so good.
I was laughing so hard on this rewatch. I'm like, Garfield, like he crushes it as Spider-Man.
That bridge scene with the kids.
Oh yeah,
dude. Holy fuck.
My when this film came out, my gripe was like, Andrew Garfield's too pretty to be Peter Parker. Like, this kid would never be bullied. And looking back on it, I was like, if you read the Spider-Man books now, Peter Parker looks like this. Like, they model Peter Parker basically after Andrew Garfield now. His look is Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. And so that plot point in my head is like gone. I threw that out the window in this rewatch. Yeah. I was like, no, I don't care that he looks like a beautiful human being. Like, I understand why Emma Stone was obsessed. Like, I just went into it and I was like, he's very neurotic in the film. And so I was like, yeah, I could see him being bullied a little bit, but not to the extent that he actually is in the film.
It wasn't even the good looking part. It was just his actions. You know, he's like skateboarding. He's like a cool photographer. And, you know, I just wish, like, it's weird. I hate kind of like comparing all three to each other because they all are very, very different and they all have their, you know, ups and downs and everything like that. But the way, like, obviously Tom Holland, a very good looking dude, but he plays like the Peter Parker as in like, yeah, it would make sense that he's made fun of him because he's very like reserved to himself and very, very awkward. He's like a very awkward to himself dude. So it makes sense that Flash would make fun of him. I mean, no one really makes fun of him other than Flash, and that's Flash. And you can kind of tell the reason Flash does it is because he's insecure because he has rich ass parents that don't pay attention to him. You know, it's like, it makes sense that he would be a bully. And I do find it's hilarious that he's like, oh yeah, I love Spider-Man. And then, you know, I'm interested to see how that'll pan out in No Way Home. Him always making fun of Peter and loving Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll be interesting to see that kind of foil play out. But if Garfield had more of that, he would have been ungodly perfect, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like we said with the basketball scene and shit like that. Like, even Peter Parker wouldn't show off like that, like, ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of
even on top of it being ungodly ridiculous. Like, and hey, say you're Spider-Man without saying you're Spider-Man. I can jump from the 3-point and then dunk.
Yeah. I also the Stan Lee cameo in the Amazing Spider-Man film in the library is
that was perfect.
Perfect. I loved it.
Yes. That Stan Lee cameo is perfect. Is Spider-Man 2 your number 3 then?
Spider-Man 2 is my number 3.
Your number 3? Okay, cool.
Same.
I just wanted to update that.
Yep. Okay, and we've kind of already talked about how good, and like with the clock, like the clock tower fight scene is unbelievable. I still geek out so hard when like what's it even called? One of the hands of the clock is falling down and Peter shoots the web to snag it while also having his arm the other direction and just slingshots it straight back up at Molina. I was like, oh, that is unbelievable Spider-Man fight sequence moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of like amazing fight sequences and moments. Even like Doc Ock finally, you know, it's the arms that are controlling him, not that chip in the bag, but it's not him. Mm-hmm. And then eventually when it busts out, you see like, oh no, he's like, what I'm doing is wrong. He wasn't a villain on purpose, you know, he was being controlled by something else. And I think that's kind of going to come into play in No Way Home too. You know, at first he's going to think he's, you know, it probably takes them from before the inhibitor chip gets busted in the battle, you know, even in one of the spots, he goes, what'd you do with my machine? So it seems like it is from, you know, before that thing got broken.
Yeah.
And then maybe either seeing that Tom Holland's Peter Parker is not the Peter Parker he knows, or, you know, maybe something does bust the inhibitor chip and, because I think he's going to be a good guy throughout this movie. I think we'll get that first, like,
I think he's definitely going to end up helping them out. Yep. In some
he's 100% going to help.
And
for sure.
And he'll end up being like on their side, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like, I'm down.
Lena, man.
Legend. Yeah. Just the only other thing I want to say about Spider-Man 2 was the unbelievable horror Raimi scene with Doc Ock when they were trying to cut off the tentacles when he's like,
oh, he's
under anesthesia. They pull out the saws and they like are trying to cut off, and the arms wake up and just start killing everyone. And the woman is like, her nails are like pulling on the metal grate as she's being dragged away. That was so Raimi, like the zoom in.
Yes.
Like someone literally grabs a chainsaw, like Ash versus Evil Dead, trying to cut. Like, it's so good. It's so good. I love that scene.
Yeah, I love the in the especially in the Raimi trilogy of how he would sprinkle at least one like solid horror scene in into them, like you the Oscorp scene in Spider-Man 1 and everything like that. Like I love like the people turning to fucking bones when they get hit with the pumpkin grenade.
Yeah,
it's like... so ridiculous but so great.
Yeah, they're deadites now.
Yeah, dead as fuck, you know. And so yeah, you I guess my three is Spider-Man Far From Home. I live in an island, so it's fine.
That's fair. I think not, I feel like our number two and number ones are probably going to be the same.
But the same.
I have a strong feeling.
I was like, I think number two and number one are the same here. Yeah. So I'm guessing it's number two is Homecoming, number one Spider-Verse. Is that?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We're not keeping this like there's like, no drama. Secret. Like what's gonna be our number two and number no? It's pretty straightforward.
It's unanimous. Yeah,
I kind of figured that would be the case to be honest. I rewatched Homecoming a few days ago, and I already love this movie anyway.
It's great. It is amazing.
Deep love.
Yep.
So, but, dude, like. I just hate if any one motherfucker goes, man, it's an Iron Man movie. He's in the movie less than Happy Hogan is in the movie. And he's in like three scenes.
This actually made sense too, though.
It did.
Tombs was just trying to make a living, you know, and then obviously he gets, you know, and busted. And he wasn't even hurting anybody necessarily. He just was out here trying to make a living.
Nope.
And Spider-Man just kind of got all up in his business. And that car scene with Michael Keaton and Tom Holland.
Ooh,
boy. Just absolutely,
dude,
phenomenal.
The light changing from red to green and the green tint over his face, like even like you guys said with Far From Home, like the Mysterio scene and the end scene with him and the drones, like there's amazing visuals in the MCU, the MCU Spider-Man movies for sure. And even him like swinging the end through New York of Far From Home is like a really, really big high point to me as well. That's cool to see him kind of come back and, you know, do the thing and everything like that. But yeah, the whole vulture of it all is like someone
I think it was I was recording the Dune podcast. They we talked about No Way Home a little bit because I think it's right after the new trailer dropped, and they were like, I never thought Vulture would kill him. And I was like, yo, he drops a building on him.
Yeah,
like he tries says you would to kill him
and you yeah, believe
he
it.
Threatens him with a gun. With a gun.
Yeah, when Michael Keaton teenager. Says he Yeah, when Michael Keaton says he's going to kill you, he's going to kill you.
Without it, that's one man you believe with all of your being.
Like my heart dropped in when he's going to pick up Liz for their date for the dance, and Michael Keaton opens the door. I was like, what is happening right now?
Because I did not see
Peter freak out, and it's just like another normal day to you know Tombs, and it's just like, ooh,
yeah. Even that the whole time that he's in the house, he just keeps looking back at Michael Keaton. Like, yo, fuck this motherfucker.
And the thing is like when Michael Keaton's like, hey, Pete, like, nice to meet you. Like all this stuff. You're like, oh, man, I kind of like if this guy wasn't a villain, he would be such a great
dad.
Dad.
Yeah. Like he's just trying to provide for his family. Yeah. He's just trying to.
To be fair, that's all he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he crossed the line when he tried to kill Peter.
I mean, you started messing with his livelihood, of course. You know?
Yeah, I get it. His livelihood was illegal, though.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody needs a side hustle. You know?
Yeah,
I thought it was great how though like Peter was trying to save him though in their fight scene there at the end that showed like a lot of true Peter Parker. Like he was trying to still save him there at the end, and that was beautifully done as well.
Another note when I was rewatching that I totally forgot it happened. The first scene when he gets out of school and he's like going on spider patrol, him totally struggling to get in the suit, I thought was an amazing touch. And it kind of makes fun of like every superhero movie ever where it's like, yeah, I'm just in the suit because it's easy. You know, it's him like stripping down to his boxers, like struggling to take his shoes off. Because of course you would wear nothing under the suit. It's skin tight. Like, of course you wouldn't wear anything. I'd love to see him like struggle, put it on.
Most unbelievable part of this film is the fact that he has boxers underneath that suit. He's not wearing boxers underneath that suit.
I was just thinking that as you know, he does the thing that compresses it to his body. And I was like, his boxers would show.
Skinny jeans show if I'm wearing boxers. Like that tight suit is definitely going to show those lines.
100%.
I also think it was kind of funny, like the party scene where he's in the neighborhood and he's trying to like swing and get out of there and he can't because, you know, he's used to tall buildings
and it goes
and he can't shoot over the golf course.
Which also like the movie retroactively like makes fun of the old Spider-Man movies of things people question now, you know, like why would they just be in the suit? What is that web attached to? You know, it's like they're like, hey, we're gonna take the effort to make you nerds go, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, of course he would shoot and it would just go into nothingness, and he has to run through a park because he has nothing to swing to.
Then they do this prolonged shot of him running through the golf course, and at the very end, when he's about to leave the frame, he's like, "This sucks."
It's so great. I just love this dude as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Even going to like Civil War when he first introduced, the whole interaction with like him and Bucky and Falcon, like, when he catches Bucky's arm.
He's like, for one, metal arm?
Well, this thing.
Yeah, and it's so insane to show his strength like that because obviously Bucky, it's a metal arm, and
you forget just how strong Spider-Man is. Yeah, so it was good to showcase that against all these other super strong humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and seeing the other side of Civil War in the beginning of this movie was also fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Him videotaping everything. And,
yes.
Oh man, he's huge now. I gotta go.
Uh-huh. The Civil War sequence of introducing Peter is still probably my favorite sequence of Spider-Man so far in the MCU. Like, if I had to choose like a few minutes of Spider-Man in any like one of these films, it's from Civil War.
Oh yeah,
because they show you everything so quickly. Within minutes of seeing him, you know he's hyper intelligent. You know how strong he is, and you see the spider sense so quickly. Like Bucky throws like the door of a car at him and then he just whips it and chucks it right back at him in like a second. Yep. And like it's done to perfection in that film.
I like how with the cap shield, he's like, this thing defies physics.
Uh-huh. It's so good. His balance of Peter and Spider-Man is great.
My only regret with that movie is they spoiled it in a trailer. I wish they would have surprised us with Spider-Man showing up because I would have lost my shit. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like the Phantom Menace Darth Maul double lightsaber thing. Yes. Like you should have saved the double lightsaber for the movie because people would have freaked the fuck out. Yeah, I will agree with that. Yeah. Oh my fucking god! You know, like
Scott. And,
holy shit!
another callback.
Spider-Man. What the fuck?
Yeah. 26 year old you.
They got Spider-Man.
What the
fuck? If they had just, because I remember being in the theater and it's like it changes. He's like, I know a guy, and then it goes to Queens and it says Queens. New York. I would have been like, if they didn't show Spider-Man, I would have been like, wait, why are we in Queens? Why are we in Queens?
What's happening right now?
It's like, that's a very attractive woman. Aunt May.
Daredevil?
Daredevil? And I do have to say the scene when Vulture crushes him under the building, that is one of my favorite Spider-Man moments in any movie. Yeah. Him being like, I'm Spider-Man. Like, come on, Spider-Man. Come on, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, it makes me so emotional seeing him do that. Because
you're like, holy shit, he killed Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, is he dead? Like, fuck.
They tease Miles.
Yes, that's another great point. I really hope Donald Glover comes back as the Prowler. I would love to see him as the Prowler.
Yes, awesome.
And 100%. It makes him buying this tech and everything like that. Like, obviously his character is very rooted in like a suit and having that kind of tech. It would be so dope to have him as the Prowler, and then him like, obviously eventually bringing Miles live action.
Yeah. Like if you think about it, so this film not only does callbacks, like it does the joke with the brand Z, like Flash talks about the brand Zeno, and that was in the Amazing Spider-Man films too. The fresh brand Zeno, it's like the fish dish that was super funny. Flash is with his date, and he's like, I know fresh brand Zeno. That wasn't fresh brand Zeno. there's so many callbacks to the earlier films. It's great, but in this film, they made Vulture cool, which is near impossible because he's not a cool character. They introduce Shocker, Tinkerer. They set up Scorpion. Yeah. They set up Prowler, and they set up Miles. And it doesn't feel overloaded.
Nope. And also, sorry, Mash, but Tony Stark is kind of the reason Scorpion's body is fucked up.
But I mean,
he throws a car at him, kind of.
He does.
I didn't remember that either, that he was on the boat. Like, I totally forgot.
I always forget.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, fuck. That's why he's all fucked up in the after credits scene. Tony Stark hit him with a fucking car into the water.
You forget about it. You're just like, man, prison has not been well to this guy.
Yeah, like, why is he so fucked up? And I was like, oh, and then rewatching, I was like, oh, he got hit by a fucking car into the water. That'll do it. That'll fuck you up pretty good.
Yeah. And that the other thing is, like, Vulture, like, Keaton does not tell him who Peter is.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he knows he saves him. And so my other thought is like we've seen Vulture talk to Morbius in the trailer. He's like, hey, we should keep in touch, Doc. Like, if we do not get Toby and Andrew in this film, it might be former villains that are helping Peter in that end scene. Like, I could see Vulture and Doc Ock helping Peter. I could see Venom showing up.
Showing up and helping
Peter. Like, there's so many things that could be happening. I think Maguire and Garfield are in this film. But if they're not, there is a rogues gallery.
In the 0.1% there isn't.
Yeah. The rogues gallery that isn't like hating on Peter could be there to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering to see if they do end up doing a MCU Sinister Six for Holland later on in this like next rumored trilogy. Mm-hmm. Unconfirmed. I don't know. I feel like no one else can say anything about it because they want to. And Amy Pascal just kind of blurted it out. And now Foggy is kind of like, come on, man. We won't confirm it yet. Come on, man. Fuck. Christ. Damn it. Why'd you say it? You know, and Tom Holland's
nothing like, around here.
You know, now there's headlines saying, oh, his contract status is questionable because he said that, oh, it's only for this movie. And it's like, yes, of course he's going to fucking say that. Like, why does everyone overanalyze everything is said? Like, they can't say certain things. Like,
exactly.
We know this. Come on, guys. Relax.
Get it together.
Now that, you know, everyone knows who Peter Parker is, I'm wondering to see how Keaton, if he'll be in a Sinister Six, if he'll, you know, because like we said, he did save him in the end. He got arrested, of course, and ruined his family's life, but he did save his life. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't give away his identity then, even though eventually it did because of Mysterio.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested to see how that Sinister Six will round out, because right now we have Scorpion, Vulture, Mysterio, because he's not dead, Morbius, maybe Kraven's on the horizon as Aaron Taylor Johnson, apparently. Mm-hmm. And then Venom, if Venom ends up being against him, which would line up with the comics, because Venom didn't really have a reason to hate Spider-Man. He just wanted to kill Spider-Man for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to kill him.
In the trailers for No Way Home, they talk about obviously all these villains coming back that have died at the hands of Peter Parker and hands of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
In related incidents. The Lizard didn't die.
Sandman didn't die either.
Yeah, so it's just like, so what do you mean, like, these characters, like, or is it just like a straight up like bait and switch, and they're switching Lizard and Sandman out for other characters? Like, they could be doing just a bait and switch.
Easily could be, or Tobey Maguire's a piece of shit and killed Sandman later. I'm going too far. Probably not.
It's very well within the realm of possibility, but he's gonna show back up at his apartment in the middle of the night, just fucking murder him.
Dead. I know I saved your life, but I'm now fucking pissed about my uncle.
There ain't nobody on the streets watching this time, buddy.
It was my fault, so now I'm gonna kill you. He's like, you want some dirt in your eye? And then he stabs him. Bait and switch. I think someone did post that. They're like, what did Toby do after Spider-Man 3? Because they made that line. Also, that line could be taken very out of context. And it could that line could not even be in the movie. You know?
True.
There's definitely lines you can tell where they stitch different lines of dialogue together and shit like that, which is I know they've released the opening scene, and they released like another TV spot. I'm not even watching them at this point because
I'm not watching
the movies in a few days. I'm just gonna wait until I see the movie. There's no point. You know, I get why they do it, because, you know, we live in this bubble. We live in the nerd bubble, and they're trying to sell tickets to everyone fucking else. I get it. But again, we don't have to watch it.
Nope.
You know, we don't got to watch it. It's easy as that. I will say,
and I'm not watching it. So
I will say, I did see a screenshot from the opening scene, and there was a Rogers the Musical billboard in it, which is cool. Yeah,
I did see that. Yes.
It's very cool.
I like that. So let's get to number one. I mean, this is no shocker here. Probably one of the most surprisingly delightful comic book movies I've ever seen in my life.
Sam and I just went to see it just because, you know, oh, it's a Spider-Man movie. It's animated. We like animated movies. Cool. No expectations. I don't even think I watched a trailer for this, to be honest, at all. I was just like, oh, there's a Spider-Man movie. Let's go see it. And then I watched it and I was like, what the fuck is this movie? Are you fucking serious?
I knew nothing like, about this movie until it came out. And I was like, oh, wow.
I remember seeing, was it at the end of Homecoming where they showed like the, like at the very end of one of these films in theaters, I can't remember which movie, they showed the, like the 3 minute clip from Into the Spider-Verse. And it was after Peter Parker had died. And it was Miles going to the grave, and then Peter B. Parker shows up, and that whole sequence that was like hilarious in that movie was shown in theaters. And
I think I remember that now, actually. Yeah. I did see that before, and I probably just forgot about it because I remember seeing that sequence. Mm-hmm. You're totally right. I totally forgot about that.
And holy, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this looks hilarious. Like, this looks so good. And then when I got into the theater, like, number one, the animation style for Into the Spider-Verse is unbelievable. Like, amazing. I could, like, I couldn't get enough of just panning back and forth and seeing like the level of detail and the style of anime. It blends so much. You see the Kirby dots at times, and you, I could not comprehend what I was seeing the first time I was watching it, because I was just in awe of the visuals.
I was shocked they actually killed Spider-Man too. I was like, God, this is a kid's movie? Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
In the like opening scene, basically. Like,
they kill him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely think they kind of modeled that after the Tobey Maguire one a little bit, because they have the train scene that you see. Also voiced by Chris Pine.
That's true. There's a lot of very cool voice actors that are really good in this.
Everyone does a great job.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Someone did a diagram of, because almost every person in this movie has like a major role as a live action MCU person now. So they did like a diagram of who they played there, and then, you know, what it was there, because Haley Steinfeld is Gwen Stacy, Mahershala Ali's Uncle Aaron, he's now Blade, Oscar Isaac, Spider-Man 2099, Moon Knight,
they're keeping it in the family.
Yeah, I was trying to think who else.
What's his name? Isn't what's his name? He's from The New Girl, he's not in the MCU yet.
No, Nick.
He should be Nick Johnson,
dude. If they brought, yes, it is Nick Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, no. I think it's his name. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Peter B. Parker, baby. I would love if they brought Peter B. Parker in live action.
Yes,
we need Nicolas Cage in the live action MCU.
Oh yes, dude. We do.
Please.
Also, this soundtrack is one that I still listen to almost daily with the kids. Like, my son loves the soundtrack.
It's my workout soundtrack.
Yeah, like, Hell What Up Danger?
Hyped with this soundtrack.
Oh, man, the sirens for What Up Danger, you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this movie is incredible. Even the Uncle Aaron moment, kind of being the Uncle Ben moment, was done very, very nicely. Even, like, the graffiti he draws in this, talking about art style, it's amazing that they can capture that within an animated movie and not make it look like extremely goofy. It's just when they bring in the other spider people, I guess I'll call them, or spider beings, because there is a pig. Even seeing like their different art styles come into Miles' world, and I think with the Across the Spider-Verse, we're going to see like Miles go into different art style worlds, which is extra exciting to see. We already kind of saw it in that first little look, but that's gonna be so cool. And I think they invented new like technology or something for the animation or something like that Sony owns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a
which new, is wild.
Yeah, so it's a new style of animation that basically changed the game. They not only gave us it is my favorite. Like, it's our number one. It's my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Across the board.
Like, period. The storyline is perfection. The voice, like, Miles is, and his family dynamic is so great with his mom and his dad. And he's like, I love you, Miles. And he doesn't say it. And he goes in front of the school. He's like, pulls up the speaker.
I love you, Miles.
He's like, say it back. Like, oh, there's so many great moments in this film that, like, John Mulaney as Spider-Ham.
Dude, yes. The fucking leap of faith.
Yes. The heart in this film is just way too big.
Yeah. It's It's so good. And like all of us said, it was such a shock to mm-hmm. everyone. Like no one, I think Amy Pascal herself even didn't even want to do a furry consideration for the Oscars, and it fucking yeah. won. Yeah, you know, yeah. like that's how crazy this is. I love seeing those like out of nowhere surprise like hits. You mm-hmm. know, it's
same.
It's so great.
This is one of those. It won for Best Animated Film. I still say it should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Agreed.
It should have been nominated for Best Picture. Period.
Yep. I agree.
Agreed.
I mean, Toy Story did it. Toy Story is amazing, yeah. but I would have loved. I mean, maybe I part maybe, the, maybe next the next one might. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's depending exactly. on how good it is, that's but I have faith that it's going to be amazing. Ooh. Like, you know, if you're going to have Oscar Isaac as one of the main people in this next one,
mm-hmm.
all right, sign me up. You know,
like I have full faith that because I guess Oscar Isaac said he would only sign on if it wasn't boring, which I don't think it'll be boring.
not at all.
That's for damn sure, because this movie is the last thing I would describe it as would be boring. Mm-hmm.
There's so many things like animation just has so much potential. You can do anything you want. Anything. And so the craziest ideas you have in your mind for a Spider-Man film, you can do it. And the way they showed the Prowler in this film was so cool. And very I sick. Didn't catch it the first few times I had watched Homecoming. But when Donald Glover's character is buying, like, he just wants a regular gun and they're trying to upsell him on all this crazy tech.
Yep.
They say, oh, we have some anti-gravity boots. And he's like, wait, anti-gravity boots? It's like, oh, you're setting up the Prowler. Like, because that's what he has. He's just able to run on the walls with it. And I was just like, oh, how did I not catch that before?
Yeah.
Dude. Oh God, he needs to be the Prowler in the MCU for the love of God.
Oh yeah.
I think they may set it up later on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so good their interaction the first time and Peter has the interrogation mode on in Homecoming and he sounds all modulated. He's like, I know what a girl sounds like. He's like, I'm not a girl. And then Donald Glover's just like, he's like, can I give you some advice? You need to get better at this part of the job. He's like, dude, so unimpressed.
Even watching Far From Home when they do the thing at Feast with him as Spider-Man with Aunt May, it's so awkward. And then they go in the back and they're like, oh, I crushed that. And he gives a high five. But then Aunt May is like, she's like, oh, did you think I was stiff out there? He's like, no, you were amazing. He's like, I did think you were stiff out there. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'm glad she acknowledged it because I was like, bro, you were awkward as fuck. You
know? Yeah, like, right.
I was like, this is rough, man. I was like, I know. He's a kid. He's new to it. You know, he just, you know, came back from being gone for 5 years, a pile of dust, and, you know, did fight a bunch of aliens. So that's fair. I will say I never in my life would have thought that we would have seen a Tony Stark made Infinity Gauntlet with Spider-Man carrying it with his web attached to Mjolnir.
Yes. That was like Pete comic book. He's flying through the air with it.
Uh-huh. I know we're talking Spider-Man, but that last hour of Endgame, it like I shake every time I watch it with how many great comic book moments happen. Like I had a physical reaction in the theater.
Dude, I was losing my fucking mind that whole movie.
I watched it three times within 24 hours.
Yeah, I think we
saw it twice in the weekend because we flew to Texas for this big fest. It's when I was an agent, so we would go travel for fests and shit like that. And we got there, saw it opening night in Texas. It felt like a fucking sporting event. It was incredible. And then we saw it before we flew home on the Monday, but we almost saw it right after we got out. Cause Sam was like, I want to watch the movie again right now. And I'm like, okay, but we didn't probably because of time. Cause we're like, oh, we're going to be at an all day fest tomorrow. We probably shouldn't spend another 3 hours in the movie theater. But yeah. That's why I always put it at number one for MCU, just because of everything that movie does. It's a hard comparison because of everything else is why it's so great. But they could have easily fumbled that, and it could have been terrible. You know what I mean? And they just nail that fucking movie with No one knew what was going to happen in that fucking movie at all. People could have guessed a million fucking times, and they never would have guessed half the shit. I guess maybe you would have guessed that Iron Man or Cap were going to die. Mm-hmm. But still, we didn't think like that. We didn't think they were going to kill Thanos in the first right. 5 minutes. And we didn't think we were going to see Hawkeye's family fucking dust in front of him and shit like that. We didn't think Nat was going to die. Like, so much shit happens in that movie where you're just like, holy, how do they think of, like, I think about that all the time. Like, how do people think of these movies and plan them out? Like, even stuff in these movies, you know, like the Mysterio scene, like, how do you think of that and plan it out, like, so perfectly and shit like that? It's, like, unbelievable. Like, even Spider-Verse. And another thing with Spider-Verse, to circle back to that, mm-hmm. is that they introduced the multiverse in a child animated movie, and it makes total sense. It's not confusing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's incredible. It easily could have been, like, the multiverse. What the fuck? Like, you know, and we're probably almost going to reach that point sometime in the MCU where if people come in new, they're probably going to be confused by some shit just because, you know, we're so far into it. There's no way, because people could go and see Endgame, and if they've just seen Infinity War, they could get what's going on, but they're not going to get all the small things. Like, one of my favorite parts about Endgame is Black Panther T'Challa acknowledging Clint's name after Clint introduces himself in Civil War, and he says, "I don't care." Like, that's such a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like two exchanges, like him showing him the respect, like, "Hey, Clint, I got you," you know, like things like that. And like, obviously, if you've only seen those movies, you wouldn't get that and everything like that. But now with the multiverse coming on, like, even No Way Home is probably pretty confusing for people. Of course, people are going to see it. It's Spider-Man. It's bringing back all these old characters that a lot of us grew up on. But it's still a lot. I'm curious to see how they're kind of explaining it, because even Kevin Feige himself said, what happens in No Way Home is able to happen because of what happened in the finale of Loki. So, like, mm-hmm. Sylvie unleashing the multiverse is why this can happen. So, because I know a lot of people were like, oh, it was really strange that caused the multiverse to crash. It's like, no, it was Sylvie, but whatever he does ends up opening the multiverse into us, which is a way better explanation mm-hmm. than just being like, yeah, everyone fucked up the multiverse. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we have the trifecta of effing up what's ever gonna about to happen, because we have the Loki stuff with Sylvie, we have Doctor Strange messing up the spell, and then whatever the heck the Scarlet Witch is trying to pull off to bring her kids back.
Right.
I'm scared of the Scarlet Witch. I am terrified of her, because she was already powerful before, but now it's like all bets are fucking off, man. Like, yeah, I don't know what she's gonna do, and it's gonna be fucked up. I mean, they've already in the Darkhold has prophesized that she's gonna bring the end of the world. Like, the next Avengers movie could be like a House of M kind of thing, of them mm-hmm. needing to take down Scarlet Witch. Like, it's possible. I mean, that could play into Multiverse of Madness in a bit, you know. It's not mm-hmm. like they're gonna solve the multiverse in one movie. You know, mm-mm. we're gonna get Secret Wars in like 10 years or something, but
I think it's sooner than that.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
they're starting films
soon. I think a lot sooner than that.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I need God Doom. Give me God Doom now. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. But man, this is amazing. You guys rule.
Oh, this was so much fun.
I always have such a fun time here. So I could talk for hours if my mm-hmm. wife wasn't about to kick me off here, because there's so much that I still have to say about the MCU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the MCU is you guys, I mean, it's all of us. We could talk about that shit forever. Like, yep, literally ever. Easy. You know? It was nice to see everyone's list. They were all kind of different. They all ended the same, though.
Mm-hmm. Ended the same. Nice. Like, the beginning, the middle was kind of exciting different. Because just, we each just, yeah, loved flip-flop. For different reasons, and we, you know, and it was all valid points.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like the top and the bottom are pretty much the same. I know I flip-flop your guys's 8 and 7, but it's close enough, whatever. Is there anything you guys want to add, any No Way Home hype thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I'm excited for the little round table that we're gonna do and talk about it then, but man, I'm tempering everything. I'm just here for the ride. Just give me, I'm going to get what I get. I'm going to love it. And I'm just here mm-hmm. for the ride.
Yeah. Same kind of boat. I have things that I would like to see, but I am tempering all expectations because I build up movies. So many times I have built up movies and then been so let down by them So I just want to have fun. I want this to be a wacky movie, which it's going to be because we're getting all these other characters returning, which in a, like with what they've shown us, like they wouldn't let go of like the big reveals and things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it makes sense. Like if this is what they're showing us, I cannot wait to see what they have in store.
Yeah. And I do think they're playing with us in the trailers a little bit. Like Marvel has, especially in the last few years, is that I think they're fucking with us. And a lot of it is some big misdirection. Yeah. And I can't wait to what comes out of that those blue cracks in the fucking world and that what's seemingly the end battle. I have no fucking idea. Yeah. And that's my favorite part about this stuff. When I have no idea what's gonna happen, it usually ends up being the best stuff.
If we get Andrew Garfield being the Spider-Man that catches MJ from that fall, I'm gonna freaking lose it in the theater, and I'll it's probably crying. Gonna be super emotional.
Literally,
like he saved her. He finally got to save her.
He did
it. Or even if Tom does it, but you see Andrew being like, "No, not again," or something like that, and then he sees her catch her, and like him have that like emotional reaction to it. I think that could give the same kind of thing, you know.
Or he slingshots Tom.
Oh yeah.
Okay, stop saying stuff. You're gonna make this shit better than it already is.
Oh,
that'd be so cool. Fuck.
See, man, we could talk forever. We could talk forever. That's the best option I've heard.
We could. We could.
I'm gonna flash this ranking up one more time to show everyone. I'll be posting this along with the. I'll end up posting this graphic by itself too when we start when we release the episode. And
yes,
yeah,
perfect.
I hope you guys enjoyed us ranking these Spider-Man movies. I'd like to hear your ranking of the Spider-Man movies. Let us know how you rank them. I know some people were posting like, "Oh, rank the Raimi trilogies." Well, we did them all. Okay,
we did it all. We did you one better.
We did it all. Deal with it. We love Spider-Man, and we love these damn movies. Even if we rank some higher than the other, but we just love comic book shit. You know, it is what it is.
It's the best. It is the best. It is.
Hands down the best. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on, Sean.
Yeah, dude, man. Thanks, man. It was great to see you. I started my day with two of the most amazing human beings on this planet. And I can't, the day we peaked already. And I just can't wait to see what the day has in store from here.
We peaked. It's going to be a good day for all of us. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be a great week for all of us. No Way Home Week is here, nerds. And thank you guys so much for joining us. I can't wait to talk to you guys more in digital person again. This was amazing.
Yes.
And
100%.
Until next time, see you later, nerds.
Bye.